Today I'm going to talk about what some might would consider to be an oxymoron. The fact that we're going to use two opposites and bring them together. The title of the lesson this morning is When Weakness Equals Strength. Now, when we think of the word weakness and we think of the word strength, we think of complete opposites, don't we? For we have all had weaknesses in our lives and we all have our strengths. And generally, they two never go together. They never work together because they oppose each other, just as good and bad, day and night, light and darkness. But you know, sometimes we need to analyze the words that we use. And sometimes we can use one thing to help us with another. And that's what I want to do this morning. We're going to let our weaknesses help us find strength that we need in our lives. You know, we just read from 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul found a weakness. We find as we go through the scriptures many people having weaknesses throughout their spiritual lives. When you think about Jesus Christ, for example, you don't really think of him from a standpoint of weakness. After all, he is the Son of God. And being the Son of God, we should think of him as being strong, unmatchless in every way. But we don't think about him as being weak. We think of him in our ministry, in his ministry, perhaps maybe after his baptism, which was one of the crowning moments in his life when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hearing that from his Father had to give him a tremendous amount of strength to face what he knew was about to happen to him over the next 2.5 years. When he leaves that scene, he goes into the wilderness. And there he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. Now that alone will make anyone weak. I don't think probably anyone in here has gone 40 days without food. Some of us don't go a day without food. Most of us don't go a day without food. So it's kind of hard to fathom going that long without nourishment and how weak one must be having gone that long without any kind of nourishment. But this is what Jesus did. He is in the wilderness, a desert, if you will. He has had nothing to eat for 40 days. And now he is confronted by the world's greatest evil, Satan himself. And when you read this story of the temptations that Satan presents to basically God on earth, you will see a strength and a power of Jesus that is unequaled because he is able to thwart every temptation that Satan brings to him. Now, even though he's gone through the wilderness for 40 days with no food, and in a physical weakened condition, his spiritual condition is strong. It is right with God. Even to the point that finally he gets tired of Satan and he says, "Go away. Get out of my sight. I have nothing to do with you." That, my friends, is strength. Even though physically, Jesus was weak. You know, the ministry of Jesus was for a reason. He came here for a reason. And near the end of that reason, we find Jesus saying to his disciples that I must go to Jerusalem and there I will die at the hand of the leaders. Jesus is letting his disciples know that something bad is about to happen. It's going to happen. And you know, that would bring on weakness on my part to know that my life is about to end. And I would worry about that, and probably so would you. But if you remember this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, Peter steps up in a very protective way. And he says, "Lord, this thing must not happen." Now what Peter was doing here, he was actually showing the love that he had for his master. Because he was concerned for his master. Even to the point that he jumped up, he spoke up, he said, "Lord, I'm not going to let this happen. This is not going to happen to you. Why, Look who you are. You're the Son of God. And Jesus rebukes him sharply. In fact, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He parallels what Peter has just done as to something that Satan would do. Now again, Peter's gesture here, it is not evil. It is a gesture of love. But when Peter jumps up and does that, do you know what is actually happening here? Satan is presenting to Jesus a temptation. Now, he's already failed in the three temptations in Matthew 4. And he's probably failed many times since that we don't have record of in the Scriptures. But now Satan is really challenging him again, and he's doing it through the disciple Peter. He is trying to get Jesus to say, "Well, Peter's going to stand up for me. Maybe the other disciples will stand up for me and I won't have to do this." No. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. This has got to happen. It's got to happen. Let it go." Now, the furthest thing from Peter's mind was to present Jesus with a temptation. He was simply trying to protect his master. You know, the night of Jesus' temptation was yet to come. Jesus would take his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would take Peter, James, and John a little farther from the rest. And he would tell them on the night of the betrayal, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." And he asked them to pray. Now, he didn't ask them to pray for him. He asked them to pray for themselves that they would not fall into temptation. Now, Peter has already done that twice already. When he jumps up and says, "Father," or "Jesus, this is not going to happen." And then when he pulls his sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. So Peter has already given in twice to temptation. So Jesus is telling him, and he's telling James and John, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Mark tells us that he went a little farther. He fell onto the ground and he prayed that if it was possible, that the hour might pass from him. We are seeing Jesus here at a point of despair. Now, Luke gives us a little more detail about the time in the garden here before the soldiers come and before Judas arrives. And as we listen to this, it's a little difficult maybe to hear the thoughts of Jesus at this time. Luke 22, beginning with verse 41. "He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." You know, when I think about Luke's account, I find it almost impossible to put this story into perspective. On the one side, here we see Jesus. Jesus is in pain. Jesus is in agony. Jesus is suffering, sweating profusely, as if drops of blood is falling from his face. And he's literally begging God, "God, don't do this. Don't make me go through this." Because he knew what was about to happen. This, my friends, is a moment of weakness. Now, every one of us have been in the shoes of fear. We know what it's like to be afraid. We know what it's like to fear. I'll tell you this little story. Last night, our family went out into the backyard and lit up our fire pit. And we were sitting around talking, making s'mores. I guess that's what they're called. Philip was playing his guitar and singing. We were having a good time. Then we got up to leave. When I stood up, my foot pressed against the concrete platform and I began to fall. And I began to fall toward the fire. And there was no way to stop until arms came from everywhere, grabbing me and stopping me. My son placed himself as a barrier in front of me to keep me from falling. Mandy had one arm, Pat had the other, and Alan was reaching out for me. All was trying to keep me from falling. That, my friend, was a moment of fear to me. But it was set aside with ease because I was supported. You know, the angel supported Jesus here at a moment of weakness, gave him strength to be able to continue on. So on one side we see Jesus in agony. He is sweating. He is hurting. He is begging for something else. And then on the other side we see God. And on God's side we have nothing but silence. God did not respond in a positive way to the pleas of Jesus. You see, both of them there at that occasion knew what had to be done. God knew it from the very beginning of time. Jesus knew it from the very beginning of time. And now the time is here. And they both knew what had to happen. But yet, we need to remember that Jesus was man just like he was God. And the entirety of man's sin was hanging in the balance at this point in time, with one begging for it not to happen and the other one saying it's got to happen. This was the hour. So out of love, God sends his angel to strengthen and to help Jesus through this time. Now, I don't know what this strengthening entailed, but I do believe that Jesus was at a breaking point here. He was physically weak. He was physically scared of what was about to happen to him. But whatever that angel did, after that strengthening, he got up. He got up and he faced Judas. He got up and he faces the soldiers. He faces that mockery of a trial. He faces that flogging. He faces the jeers of the people who are wanting him put to death. He faces the cross as the Lamb of God. He becomes that perfect sacrifice that we are told he had to be. And he becomes that Savior of the world. And this was how it had to happen. This is what he had to do. And he knew that. Even though his period of weakness was there, he realized what had to be done. And at this point in time, my friends, his weakness equaled his strength. He used one to help the other. When does our weakness equal our strength? Our weakness equals our strength when our weakness drives us to find our strength. Sometimes when we are afraid, sometimes when we don't know what to do next or where to turn, we have to go looking for help. We have to go looking for someone or something that can support us, that can help us, just like I was last night about to fall into that fire. I couldn't have stopped myself. I had to have help, and it came. Jesus needed help on the night in Gethsemane. And he found that help. And that help moved him forward. His weakness caused him to look to his God. Our weakness needs to help us to look to our God. Because there we will find our strength. Jesus knew the time had come. He knew that now he had to wrap himself in strength and continue on and do what God sent him there to do. And he was able to overcome his weakness. Weakness. I don't care who you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care what you have, your possessions. I don't care what side of town you live in, whether you live in a mansion or a poorhouse. Every one of us, I don't care who we are, have weaknesses in life. There is something out there that will bring us fear. And we have to deal with that. And sometimes we can become overwhelmed with the fear that we have. And we need strength. Strength that we can't muster from within ourselves. And I want to tell you, my friends, that strength can be God. Because we all have moments of weakness. And I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, because the greatest of all men, the Son of God incarnated, had weaknesses. And he showed it right here on this occasion. And he searched for the one that could help him, his Father in heaven. And my friends, that's why we need to look to God. Now we know that Jesus never sinned. We know that from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he has already been through what you and I go through. He has already experienced the weaknesses that you and I will experience in our lives. He has already gone through the temptations that you and I will go through in our lives. Do you not think for one minute when Satan came to Jesus and said, "Command that these stones be made bread," that he wanted bread? He'd gone 40 days without bread. He was hungry. Yes, it would have been nice to have had a piece of bread. But you know, being the Son of God, he could have had bread on day one. He could have had anything he wanted on day one. But that wasn't the point. The point was that the Son of God on earth had to overcome his weakness with his spiritual strength. Because that was the only way that he could go to that cross and he could give his life there for everyone, because he used the spiritual strength that he had that was far more powerful than his physical weaknesses. You see, Jesus was fully a man just as he was fully a God. And the difference between Jesus and us is that unlike Jesus, sometimes we allow our weaknesses to overtake us. Sometimes we allow our weaknesses to completely make us forget about God, forget about our spirituality, and just give in and give up. And unlike Jesus, we face temptation and we fail. Just like Peter on the night of the betrayal. Our sin may drive us to weep in shame and remorse, just like it drove Peter to weep and to shame what he had done. You see, sin is what we chose in the moment of our weakness. We chose to be weak instead of strong in God. When Satan throws his arrows at us, he is going to look for the places where we did not cover ourselves with the armor of God. He knows that we're Christians, but he knows that somewhere in all of that armor, there is a spot that we will give in to. And that's what he looks for. We, my friends, must learn to cover ourselves completely with the armor of God. If I'm going to grow as a Christian, I'm going to have to know where my weakness is. And I need to know how to cover that with God's armor. We must use our weaknesses to find our strengths. I talked about Paul a few moments ago and his thorn in the flesh. That's what Bill read about this morning. from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh. You know, and that seems to be something that everybody likes to talk about when you get together at church, when you're talking about Paul. Well, I wonder what that thorn was. I have no idea. A lot of people think it was his eyesight. Well, you know, he was healed of his eyesight problems when Ananias came to him. So I'm not sure it was his eyesight. Some people think, well, it's some weakness that he had, some earthly desire, some temptation that he had to live with, something that bothered him throughout his life. I don't know. We don't have any way of knowing. But we do know he had one. Whatever it was a great bother to him. In fact, we find that on three different occasions, as Bill read to us earlier, he cried for God to remove that. God said no. Now, this is one of the greatest apostles to spread the word of God. He had all the power of the Holy Spirit. God told him no. And then he told him something kind of unusual. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, what's he telling Paul? He's telling Paul the same message that really he was saying to Jesus on the night of Gethsemane. You need to take that weakness that you have and you need to have strength. Where is that strength? In God. That is the place of strength. You have to deal with that thorn of the flesh. And Paul, first of all, he had to admit that he had a weakness. You know, that's something that a lot of people can't do. A lot of people can't admit when they're wrong. A lot of people can't admit when they do something wrong. They can't admit when they're weak and don't have an answer. Some people cannot do that. I feel sorry for people like that. Because they can't, not only can they not realize it, they will not look for an answer anywhere else. Weakness. You know, Paul ends his story like this, and this is so good. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Boy, that's a switch, isn't it? Who looks and wants infirmities in life? Who wants things to go wrong? Well, listen to Paul. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Paul has found the answer. He has taken his weakness. And he has looked for something that is stronger than his weaknesses. And he realizes that that something is Jesus Christ. In his weakness, he found his strength. Not because God would not remove that thorn in the flesh, but because he finally realized that God is greater than this thorn in the flesh. God can help him overcome this thorn in the flesh. He can help us set aside our weaknesses. He can help us find strength. He can help us become strong and overcome these things. The answer was God letting Paul know that he was greater than that which tormented him. And my friends, we need that kind of strength today. This is how we find our strength. When I am weak, I can be strong because I can look to God. When we face our weaknesses in life, something that we don't know how to handle, something that we don't know what to do, we can always look to our God. Who will help us through it? It's a great problem. And we face this every day of our lives. Something is going to go wrong in our lives. We're going to face something that is going to tempt us to turn away from our God and to make us unhappy in life. But friends, we can take heart. Because God's grace is always greater. As the song suggests, grace that is greater than all our sin. And every one of us sitting in this room this morning, and yes, there are sin in our lives, but there is no sin that God can't overcome. Oh, there are sins that we can't overcome alone. But with God, there is nothing that we cannot overcome. As I said, we all have our weaknesses. So let me challenge each one of us this morning to take our weaknesses and find our strength. Our strength can come through Jesus Christ. This morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you can give your life to Him today. You can find strength that will give you faith. The faith, wanting to please God, will turn from your sins, you repent of them. You can call upon Christ as the Son of God, your Savior. And you can be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And that alone will overcome many weaknesses in your life. Because as a Christian, there are some things you won't face any longer. And the things that you do face, it will make it easier for you to overcome. Because now you have found your strength in God. It may be that you are a Christian and that you have become weak. We give you an opportunity today to take that weakness that you have within you and look to the Father in heaven who can forgive you your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ all over again. And you can find strength once again. You can find a desire to serve Him once again. You can live for Him once again. But it means that you give up the weaknesses and you turn it over to the Lord. And you will find strength in Him. Use your weaknesses to find your strength. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing this song.